And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, today we've got secrets for you. And I always love secrets because there's always little tidbits of information that seemingly look very small, insignificant, but once you cast them into the sea of world events, I mean, they make a big, big ripple. This is like a giant whale out in the ocean raising up a ruckus, I'll tell you. Well, we have Secrets Volume 204 today, the 204th time we've come up with some secrets for you. Now, some of these are actually in newspapers, but I give you sort of a let's just call it a take, a viewpoint that is politically incorrect, let's face it. But then I know that you are politically incorrect, my dear friend. And you want the truth. And I suspect, like me, you watch the news every day and you just shake your head. You get angry and mad and, you know, they give us all these lies. Feed us total nonsense and expect us to believe it. Well, I think I did when I was 12, 13, 14 years old. But now that I'm a little bit older, I have a different hat on, so to speak. How about you, dear friends? Well, listen to this. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, that's a big group in Washington, D.C., paid for by our taxpayer dollars, recently released its State of the Climate 2012 report, which states that, quote, worldwide 2012 was among the 10 warmest years on record. Now, this is the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Its State of the Climate message says that worldwide 2012 was among the 10 warmest years on record. Well, I'm reading a report by CNS News that is mocking and making fun of the official government agency. You see, Barack Obama wants to tax you more dollars. The United Nations wants to give you its climate change tax. What is a climate change tax? They want to tax, put a world tax on everything that has to do with fuel and motors. You'll be able to pay a tax on your lawnmower, on your weed whacker, on your automobile, on your motorcycle, your motorbike, your air conditioning, everything you'll be paying. I mean, And why? Well, we've got to solve this problem of climate change before the world gets too hot and we can't take it anymore. Oh, it's going to get unbearably hot. The problem is for 13 straight years, the earth has been growing cooler. And now everything is in an upheaval. All of the climate change people, all of the global warming people, realize they've been lied to, if they were the deceived. But if they were the ones who carried out the deception, they realize now that no one is believing them. God played a little trick on them. 13 years ago, he started changing the weather and made it cooler. Now, Earth goes through various cycles. He decided to throw global cooling on us. For 13 straight years, every year it's been cooler. And these yokels, now they're really embarrassed. But you see, they've just reached a point now. They've got everybody frightened and scared, and they got all of our textbooks changed for the kids. And they got the United Nations all a roar and everything. And they're really going like, you know, guns a-blazing. And now they're trying to cover up all of the data. They're trying to say, oh, no, it's not happening. No, we're not having global cooling. Don't pay any attention at all. Don't Don't read the weather reports. Don't. They know they're in trouble. They've been lying to us. They're caught in another fantastic lie. The whole world, all the weather experts. So now they're beginning to change. Well, I've actually heard, you know, discussions. You turn on C-SPAN or some of these education networks and you have a bunch of global warming experts, authorities up there. And I was listening to one the other night. I was going to see what they were going to say. And this guy said, yes, it's true. We're having global cooling for over a decade now. And that proves global warming. And the guy sitting next to him said, yes, indeed. You see, when you have global warming, you will always have global cooling. That's just the way the weather system works. And then another guy said, that's right. That's right. That's why we're having global cooling. And we can expect the cooling to continue as warming increases. This is the first time they've been saying this. And I turned to one and I said, well, now that takes all. They're so embarrassed about global cooling that they're claiming this proves global warming. And I guess they think we're going to sit here and take it, that we're some kind of crazies. And you know, you're in this world and it's a crazy, insane world. And you begin to scratch your head and say, well, what's going on here? Well, let me just read you from CNSnews.com. Article written by Pierre Gosselin. He says the report is absolutely incorrect from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. It fails to mention that the year 2012 was one of the coolest of the decade, and it thus confirms the overall cooling trend. To no one's surprise, writes Gosselin, the faulty report gives the reader the impression that global warming is galloping ahead out of control. But in fact, read the fine print. Their own data shows just the opposite. You know, it's sort of like a famous psychologist said that he had a couple come in for counseling one time. And it seems that the woman had been grocery shopping and she came home and she caught her husband in a bad situation with another woman right there on the living room couch. And I think you know what I'm referring to. Caught him in the act. Before she could say a word, she was standing there with her bag of groceries just watching, looking. He says, he jumped up from the couch, he and the woman. He says, Now, sweetheart, what you're seeing is not really what you're seeing. I know what you think you're seeing, but you're not seeing that. She didn't say a word. And then he said, now, I'm not cheating on you. I promise you. You know that, don't you? You know I don't cheat on you. Don't you know that? She didn't say a word. Then finally, he says, now, are you going to believe me or are you going to believe your lying eyes? Are you going to believe me or are you going to believe your lying eyes? Well, evidently the woman did not believe her husband. She believed her so-called lying eyes. And that's why they were there before the marriage counselor. And the man was still denying it and saying, no, no, it didn't happen. Well, you see, sometimes the truth, it just interferes, doesn't it? The truth interferes with all of these liars that are out there. Now, folks, evidently the Bible really thinks a lot of the truth. It says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, the truth is Jesus Christ. Everything about Christ Jesus is true. There was a cascade of lies all around Christ, but he cut right through it, went right to the truth. They were so angry, the Jews were so angry, they ended up crucifying him, but he rose from the dead. He's still alive today. He's the truth. Well, listen to this. Now, the NOAA says it's the warmest on record, but in its report, in the fine print, it says the Antarctica sea ice reached a record high of 7.51 million square miles. There's more ice in the South Pole than ever before in human history. Think about that. The ice pack keeps growing down there. And the figures for 2012 show that the ice pack in the north, in the Arctic, the North Pole, is beginning to grow again itself. Now we have growth in the South Pole and the North Pole. But the North Pole that they never talk about is over 10 times as big, the South Pole. Don't want to get my poles crossed here. The South Pole is 10 times as big as the North Pole. The Associated Press ran this story and later was forced to admit that it was a lie and retract a photo that turned out to be a fake. They had a fake photo. Showing ice melting when really the ice pack was growing. And the Associated Press had the audacity to show everybody this in their article. Wow. They manipulate the data. They play with it. Now, here's something that's true. Now, I'm going to give you another true report. This comes from our Vice President, Joseph Biden. In a remarkable addressed to the nation that was not really reported, but I caught it. Vice President Joe Biden acknowledged what he called the immense and outsized Jewish role in the United States mass media and cultural life. He said the Jewish contribution has been an important factor in shaping American attitudes over the entire past century, and it has driven major culture changes. Yeah, that's true. He was speaking to a group of Jewish leaders May 21st, 2013 in Washington, D.C. He says the Jews are so important in our culture, it is fair to say that Jewish heritage is American heritage. And he says, think, this is his words, behind all of that, I'll bet you 85% of these social political changes that we've been seeing are a consequence of Jewish leaders. Their influence is immense. Wow. Well, that's true. We're becoming, unfortunately, a Jewish nation, and we're departing from our Christian roots. You know, I was recently reading the Drudge Report, and I think the guy they call Psy on the Duck Dynasty show. Now, you know, if people told me to watch Duck Dynasty, they say there's no foul language and it's funny, and I took their advice and I watched, I think it was two programs with Wanda. They had a little family prayer at the end of each program, and it's true, I didn't see any bad things at all. It was quite funny. Now, I'll admit they looked a little scrubby and a little redneck. Duck Dynasty did. But they were a little bit funny, and I don't want to watch every day. It's not that, I'm hoity toity or anything. It's just, it's not my kind of show. But I sort of liked it. It was entertaining. And they say that it's the number one cable program. In fact, it's immensely popular. Well, the guy that plays Cy, the uncle, I think, sort of the older fella, he's a character. Well, he was recently asked what he thought about American culture. And he said, well, what really bothers me is abortion. And he had a funny look on his face and he said, How can America be a good Christian nation and have abortion? What has happened to us, folks? What has happened to us? What has happened to us? Think about that. Well, recently reading, a German court has rejected a German newspaper's bid to view files related to Nazi war criminal Adolf Eichmann, ruling that the documents must remain classified. Now, Adolf Eichmann was a Nazi war criminal. And, he was captured way back in Argentina in 1960 by Israeli agents. And he was executed in Israel in 1962 following a trial there. Well, it seems like, World War II ended, 68 years ago. Now, why would we want to keep files related to this war criminal, Adolf Eichmann, for almost 7 decades, and even now we will not release them? They're still classified. Now, what is all of that? Now, the files are all that remains after the government had thousands of documents destroyed. Now, why would they destroy all those documents? I believe it has something to do with the Holocaust. Adolf Eichmann, of course, knew of the Holocaust and so-called, and it seems to me the German government is guilty of a lot of things, as is the U.S. government. Maybe this guy wasn't even a war criminal. We don't know who was Adolf Eichmann. Why did they have to hide things about him? He was put on trial. He was found guilty. He was executed around 50 years ago. Will this stuff ever be released? It reminds me of the JFK assassination. People are still putting out books. It's the 50th anniversary of JFK's assassination. November the 23rd, is it? Of this year. And they won't let us see all the documents and files on it. What's that all about? Well, we recently, a couple of years ago, were able to see a film, an interview of Jackie Kennedy. It was about 45 years old, a film of Jackie Kennedy. She was being interviewed by somebody, and she said she was sure that it was a conspiracy. Well, the official government lie is that Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone. But that's like saying the fairy, the fairy tooth bunny or whatever did it. We know that's nonsense. That's stupid. We know so much today, but we don't know it all. They say they're going to keep all of the documents classified and under lock and key at the National Archives until the year 2025. 12 years from today. You know what? They won't even tell us the truth then. They've already screened those. They've already purified it. And I think they've made copies of the documents that they really wanted to keep. They're somewhere else. They're not at the National Archives. We don't even know where they're at. And they're going to release a bunch of trash to us. Maybe made up documents. Right after he was killed, why didn't they tell us? Well, it was a cover-up. We know that. But aren't you getting a little bit tired of this? Now, listen, I have discovered that during his tenure in office, Nixon, President Richard Nixon, determined that he was going to release some of those documents. And they would be an absolute shock to everyone. He knew what was in them. Why did he know? Because Nixon was at a very fatal meeting the night before the assassination and was told the assassination was going to take place. He knew all about it. He knew who the culprits were. And he was in a war in his last days in office with the Jews of the Washington Post, the New York Times, and other newspapers. You know, the Woodward and Bernstein duo of journalists. And he determined if he was going to be destroyed as a president, he was going to let American people know what was in those documents. Now, as president of the United States, all you have to do to get a document is tell somebody, go down there and get it and bring it to me. Isn't that right? You're the chief executive officer of the whole United States of America, the most powerful nation on earth. If you want to see a top secret document, well, as they used to say down south, by gum, you just see it. You want to know about UFOs, you ask for the files. You want to know about this assassination or what happened really in this war or this event, you just call up someone and say, bring me those records. And you just tell them, I want all the records. But let me tell you, friends, what I was reading was that President Nixon was conspiring with his office assistants. I'm talking about his White House chief of staff and his top aides, John Ehrlichman. Who's the other guy that was at the White House? Haldeman. Yeah, Bob Haldeman is White House chief of staff. And they were all discussing how they could get the documents. How they could, now listen to this, how they could use the White House plumbers, that's former CIA people and such, to break the safe at the National Archives. They knew where the room was, where the safe was, where the documents were kept. But they would not give, the people who had the documents would not allow the President of the United States to see them. They said he was not authorized to see the documents. If the President of the United States, for heaven's sake, cannot see secret documents, who can? God? Only God is above him. He was going to have to break into the National Archives in the dead of night, have his own safe crackers to go break the safe, take the records out, and release them to the people of America. But before they could do that, the Jews that control the newspapers and other organs of government got to Nixon first. And he was out of office, forced to resign. He never was able to get those papers. He knew what was in them. He knew it would be the biggest story ever to hit America. Folks, 9/11 is exactly like that. There's mysteries, there's secrets there. You and I both know that our government is an outrageous criminal outfit. They're doing things that we never gave them authority to do, the National Security Agency and the other Big Brother spy outfits. And the president gets up and lies, and the IRS gets up and lies before our Congress and makes a mockery, makes fun of them. And the Congress can do nothing about it. They say, I suppose behind the scenes they're being blackmailed. They're being told, we have information on you. We'll destroy you if you attempt to tell the people the truth. I don't want to be in a society. I'm Tex Mars, and I don't want to be in a society that is a lying, thieving, Big Brother criminal mafia outfit. That's what we have as a government. If this is the best government that men have ever had on this planet, goodness gracious, folks, it's gotten worse and worse as I grow older. What's it going to be like in 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now? All of your freedoms and liberties going up in smoke, they don't care about the Constitution. They don't care about the Bill of Rights. And it's the Republicans as well as the Democrats. I mean, I think Vladimir Putin is a better president than Barack Obama and George W. Bush and Bill Clinton all put together. I'd vote for Putin as president of the United States over any of those yokels, wouldn't you? Of course you would. Well, speaking of Vladimir Putin, he gave a speech at Moscow's Jewish Museum. He was invited. They have a big museum there for the Jews in Moscow. And he said some things that he was not expected to say. This is from the Times of Israel newspaper, timesofisrael.com. The article is entitled, Putin: First Soviet Government Was Mostly Jewish. Oh boy. Now, this is from Israeli sources, the JTA. It says this, Russian President Vladimir Putin said that at least 80% of the members of the first Soviet government were Jewish. While he was speaking at the Jewish Museum in Moscow, he said these words, quote, this is Putin now, quote, I thought about something just now. The decision to nationalize this library was made by the first Soviet government, whose composition was 80 to 85% Jewish. Putin said this June the 13th during a visit to Moscow's Jewish Museum and Tolerance Center. Putin was referencing the library of Rabbi Joseph Schneerson, the late leader of the Chabad-Lubavitch movement. According to the official transcription of Putin's speech at the museum, he went on to say that the politicians on the predominantly Jewish Soviet communist government, quote, were guided by false ideological considerations and supported the arrest and repression of Jews, Russian Orthodox Christians, Muslims, and members of other faiths. Thankfully, he said, those ideological goggles and faulty ideological perceptions collapsed. And today we're essentially returning these books to the Jewish community with a happy smile. Wow. Widely seen as the first Soviet government, the Council of People's Commissars was formed in 1917 and comprised 16 leaders, including Chairman Vladimir Lenin, a Jew, Foreign Affairs Chief Leon Trotsky, a Jew, and Joseph Stalin, in charge of the People's Commissariat of Nationalities, also reputed to be a Jew. Well, thank you, Vladimir. Of course, all true historians tell us the same thing. The Jews ran the communist government. They're the ones that brought us the gulags of Russia. They're the ones that tortured, purged, and murdered over 66 million people. They made Hitler's so-called Holocaust look like a picnic. Well, I wouldn't compare any kind of misery and tragedy to a picnic, but Putin was not supposed to say that. He just suddenly said, you know, I was just thinking. I'm here at the Jewish Museum in Moscow. And this was made a national government resource by the Jews who headed the first Soviet government. They had on their ideological blinders, he said. Man, let me tell you, this guy tells the truth, doesn't he? He's hard-hitting. All right, folks, we'll be right back after this brief message. It's so great to be with you. Stay with us, won't you? Hello, friends. Again, this is Tex Mars, and I would like to invite you to order my newest book, DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline. DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline. 256 pages. It explains the incredible new DNA research that's been done since 2001, first beginning with Dr. Ariella Oppenheim of Hebrew University, and the definitive research done by Dr. Elron Elhaik of Johns Hopkins Medical University here in the United States. This was incredible DNA findings. And what the study found was that those who say they're Jews in the world today are not Jews. They're actually Khazars. It's sort of like, you know, those who say they're British turn out not to be British. They're Vikings or Norwegians or something. And that's true, by the way. But the Khazars don't want this to be true. They're angry at Tex Mars for writing this. They did not believe that anybody could write and research this book. They knew that no New York publisher would ever publish such a book. Now, folks, I've written about 46 other books, and I've written for New York publishers such as McGraw-Hill, Simon & Schuster, giant publishers. But I didn't waste my time with those people. I published this one for Rivercrest Publishing, my own publishing house. And you know, it's interesting, but Rivercrest Publishing doesn't judge my books. They don't come with a pen and say, I'm going to take out this page and this page because you're telling the truth. We can't have that. Now, I'm sort of like Vladimir Putin. He went to the Jewish Museum and told them the truth. I bet you they almost fainted. They didn't even want people to know that, in fact, the monsters who led the Soviet Communist Revolution were almost all Jews, including the two top leaders, of course, Lenin and Trotsky. I mean, I cannot even find that in American textbooks today. I can't. I went to the university and I studied the Soviet government, the Soviet Communist government, and they didn't tell us anything. This has been hidden from the whole world, what Putin said, that the first Soviet Communist government was almost entirely Jewish. Some secrets are coming out today. Some people are fed up with lies. I am. That's why I wrote DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline. I knew that every major writer in America was frightened of this subject. I knew that no one would write about this. And I decided to do so. Now, I'm not a DNA scientist. I'm reporting on what the top scientists of the world have discovered. You see, many scientists are not afraid of facts, of truth. They report it, but it never gets to the people. Well, I am now giving it to you. Now, I'm not under any illusion. I realize that most of the world will not have this book. Most Christian evangelicals will not want this book because of the subject matter. In fact, I got a letter today in the email from somebody. He must have mistakenly gotten my newsletter telling people about this book, and he was very angry. He said, don't ever send me your newsletter again. You know, I can tell it's full of, and he said a bad word, full of that. Let's put it that way. I wanted to write back and say, well, it would have been nice for you to order the book and read it. For a person not to even read a book and say it's that, well, it tells me what kind of person he is. Read Tex Mars' book, DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline, and make up your own mind. Make up your own decision. That's what I do about books. I get thousands of books and articles into this ministry. I look them over, I read them, and I decide. And as you know, I don't offer everything I get. Everything on the bestseller list doesn't get in my newsletter. You know that. It's got to be down home, scientific, and true. It can't collide with the Bible. And the wonderful thing is that the DNA science is God's mathematics. I mean, folks, if you come out with some kind of scientific theory and it doesn't fit what the Bible says, throw it out. But if it perfectly is in accordance with God's word, you know it's true. And DNA science is. I thank God for DNA science. How many criminals have been put in prison because of DNA? I mean, since 1968, we've had DNA. I suspect thousands of criminals have gone to prison that would otherwise have escaped. They would have evaded the police, committing murders, burglaries, theft, arson. But they left their DNA on the scene and they were caught and prosecuted. Thank God for DNA. Well, now we know where you came from, friends. I can tell you where you came from. Give me a sample of your saliva or your blood, and we can tell right where you came from. The area of the whole world where your blood genetics markers come from. It turns out that all of the Jews in the world all came from Khazaria. They did not come from Israel. They are not the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They have no relationship at all to Israel. Benjamin Netanyahu, he's a Pole. He comes from Poland, as did his father, as did David Ben-Gurion, the first prime minister of Israel. Isn't that astonishing, folks? There's never been a book like this, and all I do is just tell you what the Bible says and what the DNA scientists say. It's my pleasure to let you know these things. Now, people are writing me letters of commendation, congratulations. They're saying, what an amazing book. What an incredible true story you're telling. You're a brilliant man. You're this, you're that. You're brave. You're courageous. I'm none of those things. I just tell the truth. I don't use any fancy words. I don't use any information that's not available to everyone else. But I do have a little bit of backbone. God did not put text bars in this world to hide the truth. Now, you know that, folks. If I stretch the truth, if I lied a little bit here, a little bit at the edge here, a little bit here, I mean, I would have an audience of millions and millions. Do you realize that my book started out at the top of the bestsellers list? But as I went on to write truthful books, more and more people dropped off. They said, whoa, this is more than we can handle. That's what happened to Jesus. He said, the people cannot stomach it. That's what he said. They could not stomach what he said is true. And so they deserted him. And finally, even his own disciples deserted him. But he lives. And you know what, friends? Tex Mars is going to live forever. Tex Mars is going to be an eternal person. I might die. I don't know. They may kill me because of this book. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe they just want to kill my book with benign neglect. Just don't even pay attention to that book. Just neglect it. That might be what happens. I pray not, though. I believe this book is so important. For one thing, there are millions of Palestinians that are suffering today. We need, as Christians, to help them. Many of those Palestinians are Christians. They're our Christian brothers and sisters. We must help them. They're being persecuted, oppressed, tortured. They're living in open air concentration camps throughout the so-called Israel state. And my book proves that President Truman was bribed to make Israel a nation. He was bribed, a nation founded on bribery. He was paid a bribe. It's in the FBI files. A man named Abraham Feinberg was a Jewish spy. He gave President Truman a huge money bribe. He was so proud of it that at the president, one of the presidential libraries, he was asked to come and explain himself, and he did before he died. Abraham Feinberg is on tape explaining how he gave Truman the money. It was a crime, a crime. But now, God's DNA, God's DNA has exposed these counterfeits, has exposed everything. Did you know, folks, that the Palestinian people, I have never in my whole life met a Palestinian. I must tell you that. I've never even met a Palestinian. Do I favor the Palestinians? I don't even know the people. But I know they're being treated unmercifully. I can see that. I can read the news. I understand. I know what's going on. It turns out that the Palestinians have more Israelite blood than do the Jews. Because the Jews don't have any, hardly. If they have, it's because of some connection somewhere else. But they are Khazarians. And the Palestinians have lived right there in Palestine, in Israel, for centuries and centuries, their families. They are the true Israelites. Some of them are Jews, some of them are Christians, and some of them, most of them are Muslim. And they have been victims since 1948 of a bribery of our president, Harry S. Truman, a 33rd degree Mason, and a criminal. Friends, sometimes your criminality is not found out until later. But it's going to track you down. Eventually the truth will come out. Jesus said you will know the truth. That's why Putin said this. He told the truth. Finally, the truth has come out. Vladimir Putin tells the truth. I'm not saying he's a Christian man or a good man, but I think God put it in his heart to tell the truth. And if you read my book, it's just $20. It's just $20. Add $5 shipping and handling. You'll know the truth. As for DNA science in the Jewish bloodline, please order several extra copies. Let's not let this opportunity go by us. We have an opportunity to tell the truth about the Jews. They're not Jews. The Bible says, talks of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan, Revelation 2 and Revelation 3. God says it twice, back to back. People say, why do you talk so much about the Jews? Well, why does all the Christian churches have all these programs for the Jews? Why do they display the Zionist flag? The six-pointed star, the 666. Why do they display that in their churches? I'm the only one telling the truth. Why? How can I not tell the truth? I'm the only one in the world telling the truth. I'm just one man, but you are my friends. You're my friends. And you can help me out. You can be a messenger from God to the world. Tell them who the true seed of Abraham is. Who is the seed of Abraham? Everyone who has Jesus in their heart. Galatians 3, verse 29. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Yeah, that's you. Look in the mirror. If you have Jesus, you're Abraham's seed. You're the heir. You're the heir to the promise. What is the promise? Jesus Christ. Boy, that's good news. And guess what, Mr. Kazar? You can know Jesus too. Let's tell the Kazars the good news. You don't have to stick around some filthy, dirty religion named Judaism that believes in the horrible occultic Kabbalah that practices witchcraft and magic. You can know the true savior of this planet, of the whole universe. His name is Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter if you're Kazar or Jew. God's not going to look down on you. People are out there saying, well, Tex doesn't even believe that the Jews are going to go to heaven. I never said that. I would never say that anybody can't go to heaven. I mean, the Apostle Paul was no doubt a murderer. He was a murderer. And he saw a light one day while he was walking down the road. He was on his way to go and round up more Christians and bring them back to Jerusalem to put them on trial. And they would surely be killed. That's what he was on his way to do until a light came. Who was the light? That was Jesus Christ. It blinded the Apostle Paul. And he said, Lord, what would you have me do? He knew it was the Lord immediately. Lord, what would you have me do? Well, we know the rest of the story. I want you to have this book, DNA Science. It's a glorious book because it tells how Khazars can find Jesus. They're fakes. They're a hoax. They're not true Jews. And they're going to be angry. How dare this man say I'm not a Jew? But you're not. But you can be greater than a Jew, much greater. You can be a child of God through Jesus Christ. That's the good news. All right. Again, our phone number is 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. You can go on powerofprophecy.com and order this book. Powerofprophecy.com. Order the book. Okay. Oh, what are you telling me, Jerry? Our address? Okay, I'm sorry. Our address is 1708 Patterson Road, P-A-T-T-E-R-S-O-N, Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Of course, our phone number is 1-800-234-9673. Call us. Ask for the book. $20, $5 shipping and handling. We'll get it right out to you. I know you're going to be pleased with it. You're going to love it. Why do I know that? Because you love the truth. And this book is the truth. You're going to realize that. And you're going to say, wow, this is great. Tex Morris cannot write. He's not much of a writer, but that's okay. He's right. He's written the truth. Oh, yes, sirree. Okay. Well, you know, there's a new book out called Human Smoke by a Britisher named Nicholson Baker. It's about human smoke, but I got the wrong title. It's The Beginnings of World War II, The End of Civilization. The Beginnings of World War II, The End of Civilization. This article I'm reading is about human smoke. But here's something very interesting in the book. In the book, Winston Churchill, he's very interesting. It says that he wrote in his 1937 book, Great Contemporaries, about world leaders. Now, 1937. Now, Hitler had been in power for 5 years in Germany. And this is what Churchill said about Hitler. This is how he described Adolf Hitler. He is a, quote, highly competent, cool, well-informed functionary with an agreeable manner. Now, in World War II, the British and the Americans tried to make Hitler look like a raving maniac, didn't they? With a little mustache and his uniform and getting up there and ranting and raving. But Churchill said he was not that at all. He was well-informed, he was competent, he was cool, and he had a very agreeable manner. The same book savagely attacked one of the leaders of Soviet communism, Leon Trotsky. Here's exactly what Churchill said about him. Quote, Trotsky is still a Jew. Nothing could get over that. That's what he said about Trotsky. Well, he's a Jew. You can't change that. That's interesting, isn't it? He said Churchill, Winston Churchill, the leader of Britain, said that fascism is a necessary antidote to the Russian communist virus. You need a Mussolini or a Hitler to be an antidote to the Russian virus. Quite interesting. Okay. Let's see now what else we've got here. We've got so many things today. Quantum computing. New computer. And by the way, it's going to go into the Utah's National Security Agency Data Collection Center. Quantum computing. My good friend, Dr. True Ott, out in Utah. I love his website. You may want to get on it. atrueott.wordpress.com. But here's what he says about this quantum computing. He calls it a disaster for humanity. He says, fasten your seatbelts, my friend, for you're in for a truly mind-blowing ride down the proverbial rabbit hole. This is not science fiction. It is science fact. The quantum computer will be the most powerful computer in the world. You know, they used to talk about a computer in Brussels, Belgium, that was called the Beast. The Beast. Well, this is truly the Beast. Now, the National Security Agency is building a complex in Utah of 7 buildings. Together, they have more space than, they're far bigger than our Pentagon, which is the largest building in the world. And it has been found out, somebody discovered this little bitty mini fact, that the National Security Agency will be using 1.7 million gallons of water each day. Now, I don't know why they need so much water, but there at Utah, when they open this new facility, they will need 1.7 million gallons a day. That's a lot of water. You know what I think? I don't think they ought to get it. If I was the state of Utah, I would deny them a permit to use that much water. There shouldn't even been a National Security Agency. It was, who started it up? There's no law that I know of that started it up. Meanwhile, here's an article from the New York Times. U.S. Postal Service is now logging all mail for law enforcement. They have a tracking program at the U.S. Postal Service. Well, no wonder those people are always complaining that they don't have enough money to do their job. No wonder they keep raising our postal rates. There they are photographing every letter that comes into this ministry and out of this ministry. And every letter that's sent anywhere in the world from the United States or in the United States, they're photographing it and keeping those on file. When you pay your utility bill, if you send it in an envelope, they're going to take a picture of that. If somebody writes you a letter, they're going to take a picture of their return address. They know everybody who's written to anybody. This is billions of pieces per year. Do you know how much money this is to log in, to take pictures, photographs of all the correspondence, all the mail, all the packages throughout the United States? I think that's disgraceful. What do they need all that for? Unbelievable, folks. It's just unbelievable. Well, here's something interesting for you. Seems that there's a rookie National Basketball Association star named J.J. Redick. He has a girlfriend. Her name is Vanessa Lopez. And she got pregnant. Or he was afraid she was going to. And he forced her to sign a confidentiality agreement. He would agree to date her for 1 year or pay her $25,000 if she would abort their baby. Wow. Here's what the agreement says. Whereas Lopez has asserted that she is pregnant, that Redick is the putative father. Wow. He agreed to date her for 1 year if she would abort her baby. Unbelievable. Well, she's got Gloria all red as an attorney now. I mean, what happened to morals? This guy gets a girl pregnant and... Oh, well. Hey, here's something new. I told you about Lee Harvey Oswald, of course, not being the only... not even being the killer of President John F. Kennedy. Now they're trying to confuse everybody's mind who did it. And they're putting out a new documentary video alleging that there was a second shooter in the assassination. Well, we know that, but who was the second shooter? They say it was a Secret Service agent. The Secret Service agent shot JFK by accident. He pulled out his gun, it went off the trigger, and he shot JFK in the head. That's why it happened like that. See, we already know that Lee Harvey Oswald could not have fired his gun three times. We know that for a fact. They actually had three FBI sharpshooters they went up to the Texas School Book Depository building and tried to emulate, that is to do exactly what Lee Harvey Oswald did. They used the same gun. And none of them could hit the target down below. Three FBI sharpshooters could not pull the trick and shoot accurately. So they know that Lee Harvey Oswald didn't do it either. Now they said, well, you know, maybe we can say, after all these years, why don't we tell people it was the Secret Service agent that he accidentally fired his gun? Yeah, that's it, sure. Hey, here's something interesting for you. Rick Perry, governor of Texas. In October, he's going to go on a trip. Where? To Israel. Hey, that is a sign that he is going to run for president. Now, he was the oops guy last time, but this time he's going to try to make it again. Where does he start his campaign? Well, where every good politician does, in Israel. Wow. Woo. You got to go to Israel and get the approval of the big boo-haws there. They're the ones that tell you whether you can run for president in America, the Jews. So he'll go there and he'll see this guy and that guy and tell him his ideas and all that. And all they want to know is, are you going to kiss the bottom of our heels as Jews? Are you going to put Israel first over America and the world? And our boy Rick Perry will say, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, buona. And they'll give him the bid. But he might just, you know, not get it. Hey, the gays are upset about the 2014 Olympics in Moscow because Russia has passed a law that said the gays cannot pull off propaganda here. We don't want any gay propaganda in Russia. And that's what the gays were going to do. They're going to carry their rainbow flags at the Olympics and all that. Now they're all angry. Russia says to the gays, if you try to pull that off, your propaganda, we will put you in prison. Well, they're all upset about it, but I think Putin's going to do it to them. Good for him. Well, that's enough secrets for today, isn't it? Well, I've still got some here. Some really good ones, but I'll just save that for next time. This has been volume 204 of Secrets, and I'm Tex Marger listening to Power of Prophecy. Please tune in each week and discover the power of prophecy.